The relationship of Rivka and Yitzchak in this week's parsha is a very strange one. It's not what you would imagine between one of the avos and one of the imahos. The impression is as if they never even spoke to each other. While by Avram and Sarah and Yaakov and Rachel and Leah you have conversations, there are no conversations between Yitzchak and Rivka. In fact, the Mefarshim point out that when Rivka went to figure out what was going on in her stomach, Vayisrotzitu Abanim Bekirba, she felt this inner fighting, this contradiction of trying to come out in front of a base of Avodah Zarah and coming in front out in front of a base Hamedrash. She was so confused and so concerned that one child would be liking Avodah Zarah and loving the base Hamedrash. And she went to seek out advice, and they told her they have two children, two very different children, a Rasha and a Tzadik. And Mefarshim explained that Rivka never told Yitzchak. He had no idea that she ever sought advice, and this was the advice she received. She never told him that there was a Rasha and a Tzadik. And this is one of the reasons why Yitzchak had no idea that Esav was such a bad person. He saw a wonderful individual, rambunctious. He was competitive, he was aggressive. Okay, you could use those kochos in a certain way, but he never knew what we knew right off the bat in the beginning of the parsha. What Rivka knew before they were even born. What type of relationship did they have? And not only that, when it came to the brachos, so why didn't Rivka just say, you know, listen, you've got a tzaddik and a rasha, who do you want to give the brachos to? Instead, she had to confuse him and trick him. And because he was blind, that she was able to trick and have Yaakov dress up as Esav. Why couldn't she be up front with her husband? We're talking about Yitzchak Avinu, who's a tzaddik, and I imagine he understood that Rivka was a tzaddik. I mean, he was able to see that she was so great, despite the fact that she grew up in the house of Besuel and Lavan, and she was able to become a tzaddik. The Farshim speak of how great that he had such respect for her. So why couldn't she just be up front with who Esav was and who Yitzchak was? So every great relationship, but even the certainly more by the tzaddikim and tzikanios and their wives, every relationship is a tikkun of some sort of the initial chait of Adam and Rishon and Chava. And what was the downfall of Adam and Chava? So the Torah tells us, "Adam Amar Kishamata Lakol Ishtecha," because man, because Adam, you listened to the sound of your wife. "Vatochel Min Ha'etz," you ate from the tree. "Asher Tzivisicha Leimer Lo Sochal Mimenu," there's eight I told you not to eat from. You ate, and why? Because you listened to your wife. So you paid attention to your wife. So if I were to ask any of you, what should the tikkun be? How would one rectify this chait? Not to listen to your wife. Not pay attention to your wife at all. That would be one approach. Ignore the wife. You have full control. You do what you want. She's just there to service you. To cook for you. To clean for you. Perhaps to work for you. To make parnasa for you. We see something very different when it comes to the avos and imahos. When Avram and Sarah were having a debate what to do with Hagar, Avram thought to keep Hagar because he was a full of chesed, and Sarah had a bini yaseira, a certain understanding that Avram didn't necessarily see. And the Torah tells us, or Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram to send her away, send Hagar away. Why? Because Ka'asher Tamar Elecha, Sarah, anything that Sarah says to you, Shema Bekola, pay attention to her. Listen to your wife. This was the rectification. This was the tikkun of Chet of Adam and Chava. Not to turn away. When a person has a certain challenge in this world, we don't say, ignore that gold cold turkey. A person can't just get rid of a taiva, a certain koach that's eating away at him. The answer is to channel it into a place of kedusha. A person has a certain kas. We can't say, oh, get rid of the kas. A person can't get rid of kas. That's who he is. That's his nature. but you could direct it to a place of shechting an animal, giving a bris milah. And so too, of course, every man wants to listen to their wife. They want to have a relationship with their wife. So the answer is to listen in the right ways,
mm-hmm.
in the right context. Kol asher tomar lecha sara tishma bekola. Pay attention to her. And so too, when it came to Yitzchak and Rivka, Rivka and Yitzchak took it to a whole other level, whereby Rivka was orchestrating the events and Yitzchak was paying attention without even listening. Where there was this understanding that didn't have it to even be said. They had such a high relationship, such a high level that she could control everything going on without having to tell Yitzchak. That's the highest level. And she didn't want to tell him. She didn't want to be so direct. She wanted to be in such a way where really the wife is orchestrating all the events. Behind every great man is an even greater woman. In the most tsanua way, she orchestrated all the events that Yaakov Avinu received the bracha. That's the highest level of Tishma Bakola, paying attention to her, not even knowing, and just trusting in whatever goes on, whatever takes place. And this works out perfectly with Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev, you know, every single month, as Sfarim tells her, there's a certain symbol that represents the month. And the symbol of Chodesh Kislev is that of the Keshes. The Keshes is a rainbow, but the Keshes is also a bow, bow and arrow. Women are the Keshes and men are the Chets, the arrow. The Chets, the arrow, is the man who goes out to make parnasa. Sometimes it's women as well, but typically the men go out to the city, they go out to give shir, they're out in the public, they're going far places. Yitzchak's name has the letters Chets in the center of the name. And the women are the Keshes, the ones that stay home and pull back. It says by Chana, she was Kshas Ruach. She had a hard spirit, but the Lashon Keshes, Kshas Ruach. When Rachel was giving birth to Binyamin, it says, Vatelet Rachel Vatikash Belirta, Tikash Kasha, the Lashon of Keshes. The women are the Keshes, the bow, and the men are the Chets, the arrow. The arrow, the man can't go anywhere without a bow. Without the bow pulling back with the strength, the further back you go, the greater the release, the greater distance it's going to go. The direction, the bow points the direction of the chetz. The chetz, a certain potential a man has. But the potential can only be actualized if one listens to the wife, to the keshes, to the rivka, to the sarah. Avraham Avinu was waiting outside the tent and he was the chetz outside looking for malachim, looking for guests. And finally they came. He's like, now what do I do? He runs back inside to get Sarah. Cook, we need to serve the guests. We need to serve the orachim here. And that's exactly what took place with Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak was the chetz. He was the arrow. He was giving the brachas. But he's only able to accomplish something because Rivka, the keshes, was orchestrating everything behind it. And every husband has to realize that his greatness, his success in this world depends on his relationship with his wife, the shalom bias that they have. That sometimes a man comes home and he's feeling down, it's the wife that builds him up and gives him the chizik and gives him the strength. And sometimes a man comes home and he's feeling very proud
mm-hmm.
and she's the one to put him back in his place. But it's ultimately that shalom bias that they have, that trust, the trust whereby he trusts her without even having to listen to her like Yitzchak did to Rivka. That's the greatest way one could accomplish in this world and be successful. So it should be zocha to a month of Kislev full of shalom bias, full of success both in ruchnius and gashmius. Everyone have a good chodesh and a good Shabbos.